This morning, I wanted to give you a few words from our brothers from America. I've called upon them to help with this presentation, and so it's coming to you from a lot of different places. They had a reunion this year in Missouri, and I know a lot of us didn't go. We've had a lot of going on. We've heard a little bit of it this week, but what was the theme for the one person that did go? Have an idea? What was the theme of the ministry?
We're to make ourselves ready.
And are we ready?
No.
What was the opinion? Were we ready, Stephen?
No.
No, we're not ready. And that was, thankfully I got the theme right. I didn't talk to Stephen about this, but that was the prevailing thoughts. And so I wanted to go with that. As I had a sermon that I was going to deliver down there, if I was asked to, and it would have been, "Are we ready?" Or more particularly, she made herself ready. And it goes like this. Revelations 19, 7 through 8 says this. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife had made herself ready. And to her it was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen and white, clean and white. But fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. Why is this important? Why is it important that we be ready at the time of Christ? We have an individual responsibility, but why as a church do we have to be ready? What are the thoughts on that?
For us to go forward and be a part of what God or what Christ is planning on. Otherwise, we're going to be left out.
The Lord has, as our sister put it very well, our Lord has a plan for us. Not only us, but the whole world. And we're a vital part of that. And so, if we're not ready, how's it going to get done? He has to be able to work with us. You know, he's not going to do it himself. He always works through man. And so that's a vital reason why, on a church basis, we have to be ready for that work. And as our brother said, the message was that we're not. And we've been hearing that same message for the last 7 years. Let us see if I can't get this going on both systems.
Each member of the body of Christ has the responsibility to prepare ourselves that we might provide.
Each member of the body of Christ has the responsibility to prepare ourselves. That we might provide. Each member of the body of Christ has
so
a responsibility
just repeat
to prepare
that
ourselves
a little bit, because I don't know if it went
that
out.
We
on
might
both
provide
systems.
For
really
the spiritual
know.
Needs
but each
of
member
those who
has
we come
a vital
in
responsibility
with.
To be ready and to give an account and to be ready if somebody asks us questions, and they're going to be coming in. You can trust me; they're going to be coming in.
Feed them. When I saw the milk, I thought, yes, finally, something substantial. And then I realized it was expired. While God had led these people to the right place to look for food, the meal was incomplete and decaying. I fear this is referring to how God sees us individually. We are not prepared to do the work that he has for us shortly in the future.
Our brother Darren.
We must prepare quickly.
And he got that out of the Book of Mormon. We must prepare quickly. And, you know, that is the message, the profounding message that you're going to hear throughout, that we have a great responsibility. And we must be prepared to do it. And I've listed a verse here in 1 Peter 3:15. It says, but sanctify the Lord your God in your hearts, and be ready always to give a good answer, an answer to every man that asketh you by reason of the hope that is within you, with meekness and fear. So that is our responsibility as a member of the Church of Christ, to be ready always to give an account, because he's going to put people on our path. And it's coming. And we can't understand how important, and we can't understand the great magnitude of that work that's coming. We just can't. But it's coming, and he's trying to prepare us for that work. The next speaker, if you will, was Elder Mike Hitt. And the theme of his comments, do you know the Father, or are you just religious?
And he says, this is eternal life, to know him. Do you know the Father, or are you just religious? Do you have a time that you set apart, that you go by yourself and you're with nobody else? That's what that he will reward you in secret. Psalms 91 says, he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I hope every one of you have a time and a place that you go and you spend and you know the Father of life. I hope you're not counting on being here on Sunday and belonging to the right church to be your righteousness. Because your righteousness comes because you hunger and thirst to know the Creator of heaven and earth. We have got to know these things and do them because we love the Father and because we love each other. We've got to know what Jesus taught, and we've got to pray and say, Father, by the power of the Spirit that lives inside me, call your word back to my remembrance every morning. We've got to expect that to happen when we're working with people and we're with each other, that happens. Without that, there's no new creature. We're just the same people that are saying we're the true church. And can show it, and we can turn here, and we can point it out. We can go through a lot of events that happen and see today's the first time Cheryl got to see the stones down there. And we can go through those things, and we can show a lot of things. But being that light and having that life is what people see that will draw them.
Are we that light? You know, Mike gave us some inspired words there that, you know, every morning we're to get ourselves ready for that day, because you never know when somebody's going to be put in our path that's going to need some inspiration, that's going to need direction, and there's going to be people looking. And there's, I can't tell you, even in Michigan here, how many people are contacting us now. From around the state, several, and I know that Chris is working with something down in his area. I know Adam is working with some. He's out today, working, and that's when it's starting to happen. And it's going to come like a landslide, and we have to be ready with that witness. Our next speaker was Elder Steve McGee, a brother of our apostle.
To their souls, except they what? Oops. Humble themselves.
To their souls, except they
as what?
What?
Humble little themselves. And believe that salvation was and is and is to come. And in the salvation blood of Christ, the Lord omnipotent,
and is to come, and in and through the atoning blood of Christ.
The natural man is an enemy to God, and has been from the fall of Adam, and will be forever
and ever. For the natural man is
ever.
An enemy to God and has been.
And if he yieldeth to the enticings of the Holy Spirit and putteth off the natural man and becometh a saint through the atonement of Christ,
and put off the natural man and becometh a saint through the atonement of Christ, the Lord, and become
submissive, meek, humble, patient, full of love, willing to submit to all things which the Lord shall fit to inflict upon him, even as a child doeth, thus submit to his father, as I remember
it being back later as a little child.
I remember this. I remember I was all of these things.
I remember I was all of these things.
And moreover, I say unto you that the time shall come when the knowledge of the Savior, Savior shall be spread throughout every nation, kindred, tongue, and people.
And what did he tell his disciples
right after?
And what did he tell his disciples
his doctrine?
Right after?
He said, go tell this to the people and go tell it to the world. Tell
his
what?
Doctrine. He said,
doctrine.
Go tell this to the people.
Those three simple
tell what?
Things.
His
tell
doctrine.
It to the world.
Those three simple
and tell it
things.
Right.
Tell it to the world.
And tell it right.
And tell it right.
Thank the Lord that we have a book
and tell it right.
That tells us how to tell it right.
Thank the Lord that we have a book.
Thank the Lord that we
that
have
tells us how to tell it right.
This Book of Mormon, where we don't have to guess.
Thank the Lord that we
don't
have
to wonder.
This Book of Mormon,
it's spelled
where
out.
We don't have to guess. We don't
it's
have to
spelled
wonder.
Spelled out exactly.
It's spelled out
what it is.
It's spelled out exactly
to come unto Him.
What it is to come unto Him.
We have those two books for the fullness of the gospel, and one supports the other. And you can read both of them that, you know, find both messages in the same, in either book you go to. But they support themselves. And by two witnesses, you know, it says every word will be established. It doesn't matter if it's prophecy or whatever it is. It always uses two sources, or three sources. And it's been since the very beginning of time. And it continue will be. Every word is established with two sources. Part of the reason we send to ministry everywhere, you know. They send them two by two out. And every word's established. You know, Mike went into, not only are we, I have problems, but he says the way to have that message go out is the only way is to become as what? Little children. And he explained, and somebody did it before him, and Mosiah, I think it's 120 and 119 there, that the way we do that is we become as a little child again. And the Lord helps us establish that. And, you know, it's the opposite of our natural man. You know, peaceful, meek, full of love. We're not full of love. The natural man. We're not. We're full of self-love. And, you know, that's where we got to become. And that was Mike's message that he received, that we need to become as little children, full of love. And then a lot of the issues that we have in the church today, and we're not reeling from some in Bradley, but others they are. And it's that contention. And you can't have contention when you're full of love. It takes pride, as we've heard before. I hope this is going out okay for you streamers, but I probably picked the wrong week to have an audio sermon, but let's hope. Tommy Gill was the, I don't know if he was the final speaker or the next speaker, but he's probably the one I'm getting close to the end of the sermons. So let's hear from Tommy Gill. Elder Tommy Gill is from, he's from Honduras.
What I saw was a person descending in a cloud with his hand, with his hands extended out with the palms facing up, as though he was showing me his palms. He came to me and asked me how I was. I understood in my heart he was asking about my spiritual life. I also understood he was Jesus Christ. I told him that I thought I was okay, but he shook his head no and told me I needed to work on my spiritual life still. Then he pointed to the church building and told me that this was his church, but that the members needed to know that they were not yet ready, and they must get ready as he was returning soon.
That was a dream that our brother had in 2009. And that was 2010. That was some brothers down in Honduras. Three brothers and sisters had dreams at the same time, telling it a different way to their audience. We had an older one that represented the older crowd, if you will. We had young kids that received this message. And we also had the ministry receive the same message. And they were, it told it in different ways. Some were in the water, swimming, and they were told, you know, what are you doing in the world? The time is so short. You don't have time to be in the world. And this brother here, he was told that his physical life was not in order for him to make it. He had to make some changes. And then Mavis, also, I think that was the third group down there, also received it in a different way. But all of them received, the time is extremely short and you're not ready. Same week, all of them received the same exact dream. Not the same exact dream, the same message, different dream. That was in 2010. This is a dream that Tommy had. And he had this in 2009, as I was saying.
Two times, yesterday and today, we've been told the definition of what iniquity is.
Yesterday and today, we've been told the definition of what iniquity is. Willfully choosing.
To do evil. When you know it's evil.
To do evil.
The iniquities of this nation is that blinding light.
The iniquities of this,
this nation,
is that
unless it repents, will
this
be
nation,
darkened.
Unless it repents,
it will be brought
will
down.
Be darkened.
And when that happens,
it will be brought down.
The world will see the
and
light.
When that happens,
the truth
world
will be able to
light.
Shine forth.
The truth will be able to shine forth.
I gave that warning here from God.
I gave that
this
warning
nation
here
must repent.
From God. That this nation must repent.
Why? Because its iniquities blinds the world from seeing
because
the truth.
Because its iniquities blinds the world from seeing the truth.
And if it doesn't repent,
and if it doesn't,
I'll just throw
repent,
that question out. Has it repented?
And I'll just throw that question out. Has it repented?
No. It's gotten much worse.
No, it's gotten much worse.
I think all of us would agree to that. That number one, this nation is going to go through some times, and you just have to read to know that this nation is going to be our cities are going to be ruined, and there's going to be I don't know if it's going to start right on the borders, but you can see the border wars are starting to sneak across. There's several movies on that, and now it's real life. They're targeting the drug lords in South America and Central America are targeting judges. They're killing our judges, and they're targeting law enforcement, and that will have an effect, and they'll come across. But that warning was given in 2009, that his dream he had just before he was told to preach. He was just newly ordained, and that America needed to repent. And since that time, you know, you won't go to one of our conventions that we just had. They've opened up a new thing. It's called transgender bathrooms. So men can go in the women's bathroom and women can go in the men's. And that was at our convention, if you will, or one of our conventions for one of the parties. It's gross iniquity. The second dream Tommy just had. One of the previous speakers was talking about, Darren was talking about a dream that Betsy just had while she was down there. They deemed it to be from God, and they deemed it to be spiritual. And that's what Darren was drawing his material from. These are all drawn from dreams, most of these. And this is the last one I have.
Thank you very much, Brandon. It's good to be here.
Thank you very much, Brandon.
Do you want the short version or the long version?
I think I got the whole thing here. I probably put the whole thing.
It's very interesting.
We're not going to listen to the whole thing.
After Roland asked me if I'd preach here, after he found out I was coming up.
I think I got the whole thing down there. I'll just tell you about it. He had a dream that he was up on a hill and he's seen cities. And there was problems. There was destruction that happened on each one of these places around. You can see the different hills with the different destructions happening. And then his attention was drawn to a large hill. And he knew that large hill was the Americas, and particularly our America. And as he watched this destruction taking place. It wasn't complete, but there was a volcano in the middle of it. And that volcano, which represented destruction, started to go off right in the middle of the city. And the mountain, or the government of the United States, a lot of it was destroyed. And the only thing he was told to do is start telling people, it's time. That's the only words he knew to say. And he started doing that in the streets. And then he was told, go into particular houses. And he says he couldn't tell how many houses he went into, but that's what he did. He started telling them, it's time. And then he went so long, and then the Lord told him it was time to go. And so these things that he was given, he drew the conclusion that the repentance was over for the United States, and these destructions would start taking place. And that's what he believed. It's time. These things, we're going to start seeing destructions in the United States. And it's time for us. When that happens, it's opening the door for us. And we have to be ready. I have some words from Nephi. What are some of the reasons members of the true Church of Christ be ready? And there's a good example of that in 2 Nephi, the second chapter, 19 through 21. It says this, wherefore the fruit of my loins shall write, and the fruit of the loins of Judah shall write, and that which shall be written by the fruit of my loins, and also that which shall be written by the fruit of the loin of Judah, shall grow together unto confounding false doctrine, and laying down contention, and establish peace among the fruit of my loins. What does all that mean? Means these books right here are going to be used to throw down false doctrines, lay down contention, and establish peace. How do we do that? You know, we throw those books out there and that's what they do? No. We're going to carry that message. And the message, you know, God is going to bring them in. He's going to bring them in. He's going to give them dreams. We've seen it. His, that's how we got started in Africa. Those people started having dreams. And we were invited to go there, and it took off. And, you know, any place that we've tried to go that the Lord hasn't first given dreams and stuff, it doesn't work out. And so that's why he's established it. He's going to give them dreams, he's going to give them callings, and he's going to lead them in our path. And, he's going to have other helpers to help us out. We're aware of that. But primarily it's our responsibility as a Church of Christ to put down these false doctrines. Not in an attitude of attacking the people, but attacking doctrine. There are some of the reasons members of the true church be ready. Matthew 24:14. In this gospel, you know, that gospel is very clear. It's very easy. You can find it if you're in streaming. You don't know the Book of Mormon. You can find it in Hebrews chapters 5 and 6. Very concise. It's repeated four times in the Book of Mormon. And this gospel of the kingdom of God shall be preached in all the world as a witness unto all nations, and then the end shall come. That's going to happen. I guarantee it's going to happen. But it's just not God is love. Make a little covenant, verbal covenant. You don't have to do nothing. That is not his gospel. You know, it takes faith unto repentance. You have to change your life. You have to be baptized by somebody with authority. Lay hands on for the gift of the Holy Ghost. And then continue faith, hope, and love. That's his gospel. Very simple. It was lost to the world. And the world expected to come back. Any of the founders will tell you. Jacob 3:1-4, he says this. And it came to pass that the servants did go to it and labor with their mights. And the Lord of the vineyard labored also with them. And they did obey the commandments of the Lord of the vineyard in all things. He's not physically going to be here with us. He's going to send us out. He's going to endow us, if you will. And then we're going to go out to the 12 tribes, or the rest of the 10 tribes. But this is already taking place, that we're going to the world. In fact, you know, we have far more members overseas now than we have in the States. It is going out. It's going to the House of Israel already. You know, those groups down in Honduras, those groups in Yucatan, you know, outnumber us. Well, maybe not. Maybe they don't outnumber us yet, but they outnumber us probably number of churches. You know, they've doubled their number of congregations in the last 10 years. Doubled. So it is going out to the House of Israel, and it will continue to go out to the House of Israel, and it will continue to go out to the Gentiles in those poorer countries. Let us turn. I haven't turned anything. So let us turn to Missouri Sermons, it says. And this is 3 Nephi 5:29-42. And I hope my voice hangs in there. Some of the problems with the church body. It says that was the theme. Well, if we're not ready, why aren't we ready? What are some of the problems we're having? And this is read that when I could read it in the Bible or Book of Mormon. But this is the problems the early church had, as well as us today. 6:34, right? And there shall be no disputations among you, as there hath hereunto been. Neither shall there be any disputations among you concerning the points of my doctrine, as there hath hereunto been. So they had the same problems that sometimes we do. We are passionate. We've been able to even a personal doctrine, if you will, that it should be done exactly this way, and they disputed it. And, you know, they did the same in the New Testament, we find. You know? But we have to do it in love. For verily, verily, I say unto you, he that hath the spirit of contention is not of me, but is of the devil, which is the father of contention. And he stirreth the hearts of men to contend with anger with one another. You know, how often have you felt the Spirit when you're angry? You feel the Lord working with you when you're angry? Doesn't happen. You're on your own when you get angry. Behold, this is my doctrine. To stir hearts of men with this is not my doctrine, to stir the hearts of men with anger against one another. But this is my doctrine, that such things should be done away. You know, our brother Gee mentioned, he says he doesn't read that in the doctrine. You know, he reads very clearly what the gospel is. The principles of the gospel are really clear. But he says that isn't in there, but yet it is. You know, and I'm sure he was meant that, but it is there. we're to repent. We're not to have that stuff all of us. You know, it has to be done away, that sort of thing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, I declare unto this is my doctrine. And it goes on. It lists the things that we just talked about. And it says, I'll script down, and you know, it talks about baptism. It talks about the Holy Ghost being given. And if we don't have that Holy Ghost when we die, what happens? We don't have Christ's Holy Ghost. The devil steals us his. And then he takes us home to his home. We have to have that Holy Spirit. You can read that in the 8th chapter of Romans if you wish. So it goes down. Verily, verily, verse 41 says unto you that this is my doctrine. And whoso buildeth upon this, buildeth upon my rock, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And whosoever declare more or less than this, and establish it for doctrine, the same cometh of evil. And is not built upon my rock, but is built upon sand foundation, the gates of hell stands open to receive such as the flood came and the winds beat upon them. Therefore go forth unto this people and declare the words which I have spoken to the ends of the earth. That was the same commandment the Lord gave at the time of his leaving, that they are to perform this doctrine right here. And you can find it in early history, that history shows that they went out with the pureness of the gospel in the early time on both lands, and they converted a lot. They converted half the Roman government. You know, half the Roman kingdom was converted to Christianity. They went out with that pure doctrine. They laid hands on it and over there. And they had callings from God. And in both lands, they did declare that simple message. You know, nowadays they want to make it easy for people. You know, don't embarrass yourself by going and getting baptized. You can just say this little prayer and then you're covered forever. You know, keep sending your money and you'll be good. Another problem we suffer in the Church of Christ, what is it? Why aren't we ready? Another problem that we have, what is that? What is the sin of America? You know, we all have problems around the world. We all have them. You know, down in Central America, they don't suffer with the pride to a great extent. It's coming in a little bit, but they don't have that problem. I guess I gave it to you. We suffer with that pride. And it's a pride that this nation has to struggle with. They struggle with other things down there. They struggle there's a lot of drunks down there. They struggle with alcohol down in some of those countries. But we have so many gifts and we have so much money. You know, the poorest among us are rich down there. I guarantee it. You know, if you have a car, I guarantee you're richer than any one of those people down there. And so they don't struggle with that pride, you know, with great riches and all that we have. And, you know, when they get a disease like we have, they die. They don't go to the doctor and get taken care of, they die. You know, and when we were in Africa, and I'll try to hurry up here. We had three to five every time you go to Africa in the church, they die. Can't help them all. You can't throw money, you know, unending money at them. But we are so blessed in this nation. Therefore, we struggle with pride. We do. And thus the command of the Father that I say unto you, that when the Gentiles shall sin against my gospel and shall reject the fullness of my gospel, that's the fullness that we have. It shall be lifted up the pride of their hearts above all nations, that's the U.S., and above all people of the earth. You know, we don't lead the nation in some of the perversions out there. We're getting close probably now. We're getting real close now. I can't hardly look at the news anymore. But, you know, there's others that have other problems. But pride is our number one problem. So what is that? What does that lead to? We've already talked about one thing, contention. You know, if there's no pride, there's no contention. So that's one thing we are susceptible to. We get angry. shall be put on the image of Christ. I'll turn quickly to that. Have we put on the image of Christ? What's Christ like? You know, we haven't, most of us haven't met him. I think some of us have, but not most of us. I got page 218. I'll read 19 also. The natural man, our brother McGee read it. The natural man is an enemy of God and has been from the fall of Adam and will be forever and ever. And you can read this in the Bible as well, the natural man. And but if he yields to the enticings of the Holy Spirit and put off the natural man and becometh a saint, we have to make that choice. You know, God's going to help us with that, but we have to make that choice to put off that natural man. Becometh a saint. That's through the blood of Christ. That's baptism. Any way you want to read it, through the Bible or Book of Mormon, baptism, becometh a saint. Through the atonement of Christ, the Lord, it becometh a child. Okay, now he's going to tell us what we're not. What we're not born. When we hit that age of accountability, we have a change going on. We start thinking of ourselves as important. We're not no longer submissive, meek, humble, full of patience. Full of love. Willing to submit to the things of the Father. You know, whatever he shall, it calls it in the Bible, chastening. The chastening of the Lord. You know, some things are good that we go through. Otherwise, we're not going to make it. Do we look like these? These guys are perfect. Absolutely perfect. Do we, when people look at us, do we say, yeah, you know, that's a child of God there. They're perfect. Do the people see that when they look at us? When we're that condition, then the Holy Spirit can work through us. We have to look like that. You know, if you're not feeling the Spirit, it's because you're not humble. Let me quickly turn to, maybe I have this later on. I'll leave it. I think I might have it later on. I've got just more slides. Hopefully I'll quickly go. The Spirit cannot work unless we're humbled. Besides contention, how else does pride manifest itself? Have it now. How does it manifest itself? It shows itself up in pride, and that can lead to contention. How does it manifest itself? What is it stopping? Why does it stop the Spirit? Pride, how does it show up? It stifles the things we do. Seventy-one. And the first fruits of repentance is baptism. That's what we're supposed to do. And baptism cometh by faith, another principle of the gospel, unto fulfilling the commandments. He commands us to go that far. Did he not? You can find it anywhere. You can find it. Hebrews 6. He commands us. Those are the principles of the gospel. Unto fulfilling the commandments. And fulfilling the commandments bringeth a remission of sins. So if we're faithful, go down to waters of baptism as our brother was last couple of weeks ago. His sins are forgiven. Absolutely. And the remission of sins brings meekness, humbleness, and a lowliness of heart. And because of that meekness and lowliness of heart cometh the visitation of the Holy Ghost. That's how it comes. And that's how it stays. If you want the gifts of the Spirit, you have to be there. If you have anger, hatred, not going to be there. You can't live that. You tell me once where he shows that, you know, the Spirit talking through somebody when they're angry. The Lord might be angry talking through them. But that Spirit, those gifts, have to come in an attitude. You know, I think back to Alma, you know, when he was, you know, those people were really sad because, you know, they couldn't get the gospel. They cut off the temples from them. And, you know, when Alma heard that, he rejoiced. He says, wow, now they can hear the gospel, you know. And they were in a condition that they were in lowliness, they were meekness, they were humbled, and now they could, the Spirit could work with them. So, how does it work? Well, here's the scripture. that I was trying to get at. Be not therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of his prisoner. Be thou a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. You know, that's another indication of pride. And we see it in America more than we see it overseas. You know, when we're out there, we don't see that pride. We don't see that embarrassment. And you know, we got a class going down, and I'm happy they're keeping it going. They make the kids, every time the Lord's mentioned, they make them kneel down, and I don't know what they do. But, that, you know, it gets them to, they don't like it, you know. It gets them publicly to admit Jesus Christ. And they don't like it in front of their peers. And who would? But that is the condition that they're in overseas. They're more humble. And they're not ashamed of the gospel. You know, we're ashamed sometimes to stand up and give a testimony. Tell me that's not true. And that's what we got to overcome. We got to be willing and ready to give that testimony. Or whatever the Lord calls us to do. That's a big thing in the United States. That's a big thing that we're not ready for. Every one of us is going to be given testimony. I guarantee it. Got to get rid of that embarrassment. They don't use the word embarrassment in the New Testament, but they use this word ashamed many times. Can't be ashamed of the gospel. Can't be ashamed to bear our soul. Not easy. This last one, this is the last sermon I listened to. I'll let you, it's going to be a little rugged on the audio, but I'll give it a try.
Because we have because we have the fullness of the gospel.
We are the true church because we are given the fullness of the gospel.
He told me that we need to have more unity as members of Christ. If it is okay, that we need to come together more often because Christ is coming. And that God loves us very much, and he's always going to be with us. In many of the cases,
God loves us very much. We have the true church, and we need more unity. Same message we're hearing. And this is a young girl, 19 years old, and you know, the beholding of angels is one of the greatest gifts. And whose shoulders he puts it on is a 19-year-old girl. I've known her since she was yay high. Comes from a great family. And I believe her. She came to her five times. Five different times.
That I need to witness more? Is that where we're in Punjab? My family and I, we need to pray more. We need to
defend the gospel.
Defend the gospel. Y él me dijo que muchos me van a preguntar cómo era. And a lot of people are going to ask me how it is. Él me dijo, pero yo te voy a pedir que me vayas a pedir. A lot of people are going to ask what I look like, and he told her to not describe how he looks.
Que yo lo guardara siempre en mi mente.
That I need to keep that in my mind and my heart.
Pero yo no podía decir a nadie.
But I can't tell anyone anything else.
Él me dijo que muchos me iban a preguntar que yo lo describiera.
And a lot of people are going to ask to describe me.
Pero que yo no lo podía decir.
But I can't tell them.
Y yo le dije que no, no lo voy a decir.
And I told him that I would never describe him, I would never do that.
Él me dijo que luchara siempre porque la venida de Dios está cerca. Y él me dijo que yo hiciera esa pregunta. las personas o todos los hermanos cuando vienen. And he told me that we are to defend the gospel always, we're always to stand up because the coming of Christ is near and you better be here.
We're in the last days, probably.
And, yes, we're in the last days.
Esa pregunta que él hizo es ¿qué más quieren?
Sometimes you don't have to know Spanish, which I don't, to know what they're saying. Young girl, that was given when she was 19, and she is now, how old are you, Amanda? I have the same dad, exact birthday. 26. 7 years. 7 years. The last 7 years we've been seeing these things. We've been seeing these things. They've been coming out. So, you know, the early part, you know, the guy told her, and I think he was a Nephi, I think, I'm quite sure of that, you know, just by the things he told her, but anyway, those guys are working down there, and they have many stories about those guys working down there now. They're starting to reappear. Shayla had an experience also. Guy knew too much, knew everything. This guy knew her dreams. This guy appear and disappear in front of her. What, you know, new things about her family that he could not know. Come behind locked, peering behind locked doors and tell her things. But said he says, you have the fullness of the gospel, therefore you are the right church. And I think back, and Christ himself probably told him that message 2,000 years ago. If you turned it, I'm not going to turn there, but third Nephi, chapter 3 or 12, tells them the exact same thing. They were wondering about the name of the church. He says, yeah, if you're the right church, you have the right name. You know, Church of Christ, and you have the gospel, the doctrine of Christ. And he says, you have that fullness of gospel. Christ told him that 2,000 years ago, and now he's telling this lady. And the other thing he's told her, he says, we need to contend for the faith. We're not doing it. We're missing opportunities. We're missing opportunities. And he says, what more do you need? You have the fullness of the gospel. How come you aren't using it? He told her that over and over. 3 times he told her that. You know, what more do you want? You have the fullness. What more do you want? Putting people in your way and you're not ready to convert. You can't. God needs us to help. Same message. Last couple of slides. You know, that's another way they stifle the spirit. You know, if you have gross sin in your life or sin, Alma 14:103, yea, he that repenteth and exercises faith bringeth forth good works and prayeth continually. Do we do that? Without ceasing, unto such was given to know the mysteries of God, and unto such was given to reveal things which had never been revealed. That lady, you know, if you listen to that testimony, she went to church Wednesday night, and then she went to, I think, church Friday night, and then I think it was Saturday morning or Friday morning, one of the two, she went to church alone that day, and she says as she went at 6 o'clock in the morning, fasting, and then when she got done with her service at 9:30, 3.5 hours to a service of her own, when the guy appeared to her. Beholding of angels. That's how she gets it. That's why she's dedicated. Last slide. Sorry for running over. Made herself ready. 3 countries all giving the same testimony over the last 7 years. 3 different countries. Are you know, and that's just the tip of the iceberg. A lot of people are having dreams. What are they saying? We must ask. We must, this is not what they're saying, but I'm telling you, that we must ask God ourselves what we're lacking. You know, I've listed some of the things that we are lacking, and these ministers have listed those things that we're lacking. Not each one of us has the problems with anger or whatever it might be, but we have problems. The church as a whole is not ready. We need to ask the Lord, and he's going to point out where we're lacking. And then we need to make those changes. And then I have one final question for you. Since we know that the church does make ourselves ready, says that in Revelations, and we do carry forth the gospel, we know that's going to happen. If we personally don't make the changes within ourselves, what will God do? He hasn't told me, but I know it involves pain.